And we're holding on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. I'm holding on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. About 12 lines from the bottom. Line begins Avala Reshalai. 12 lines from the bottom. The last couple of blat, the Gemara has been dealing with the question. Since our Mishnah says that you pay that a person pays a knas if he for an onus or mafata pays a knas, we said even if the woman that he had relations with is somebody who is an erva to him and for whom he'd be chayv karis, he's still paying the knas. On the other hand, we have a Mishnah in Makkos that tells us that if a man has relations with one of these women for whom he'd be chayv malchus if it was bemezid without aid of hasra, but instead if there was hasra from malchus, then he would be getting malchus. And so how do we reconcile that? So far the Gemara has gone through several different answers how to reconcile them. One of them being that Rabbi Yochanan had distinguished. So one of the answers was that Rabbi Yochanan distinguished between whether, in fact, they gave him hasra for malchus or not. If they gave him hasra for malchus, then he's going to get malchus. If they didn't, then he's going to have to. Then they can't give him malchus. So then he's paying the money. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan had said, the Gemara says, Amud Beis. That if you have a case where a person would be chayiv money or malchus, then always the default is going to be that he gets malchus, and only if we can't do malchus, only then will he be paying money. Then Rish Lakish, on the other hand, had given an answer that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yechanan, goes according to Rabbi Meir, and we talked about that according to Rish Lakish, we would say Rabbi Meir would say that a person could in fact be chayiv for two penalties, both Mammon and Malchus. So now let's deal with. So now we had other answers as well, but we had an answer of Ula as well, which was that there's a difference whether she's a Naira or a Begeres, and we also had. So now the question is going to become. So here the Gemara is gonna deal with why Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan don't agree with each other's answers. The Gemara is not dealing with why they don't agree with Ula's answer. Fine, Ula's entitled to have his own opinion, but apparently the Gemara figures since Rish Lakish was a Talmud Muvhak of Rabbi Yochanan, we would expect that they would agree unless we have a specific reason otherwise. So we're gonna deal with that. And then in that connection, we're going to tie together a bunch of threads that have been going on in the Perek so far. Earlier in the Perek, we also dealt with the issue of when do we say kom lebe d'rab minei anyway. We know the concept of kom lebe d'rab minei tells us that if a person is chayev misa, then he's not going to be paying. Then he's not going to be paying money. Classic example earlier in the parak was a person stole on Shabbos in such a way where he's chayev in the gneva at the same time that he's chayev for Isser Shabbos, and we would say that he's potter from paying because kom lebe d'rab minei, because he's getting misa, so therefore we don't also make him pay for the gneva. Does that apply to Chiyuv Koris earlier on in the Perek? The Gemara dealt with the opinion of Rav Nachunya ben Hakana that says that yes. We also dealt with among other things the opinion of and we dealt with several different opinions. We said Reb Meir, there's different ways of understanding Reb Meir's opinion. Would Reb Meir say that old person might get malchus and pay, but not misa and pay? Or would we say that Reb Meir would say that, would Reb Meir maybe even say that even that there's a difference between misa and malchus in that regard? So now the Gemara is going to start tying several of those threads together. So the Gemara says, Bishlemer Rabbi Yochanan my Amakir Shlokish. I understand why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say like Rishlokish, where Rishlokish had explained that our Mishnah goes according to the mayor, and the mayor would hold that a person might get Malchus as well as have to pay money. So therefore, so our Mishnah saying that he has to pay the Knas for being onus or mafata doesn't contradict the Mishnah that says in Makkos that he gets Malchus for it. So I understand why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like that explanation. Because Rabbi Yochanan would rather say that our Mishnah goes according to the Chachamim and not just according to the Meir. Ela Rish Lakish, my time, like Amok Rabbi Yochanan. But why does Rish Lakish not agree with Rabbi Yochanan? That the question is whether he got that the difference between Mishnayos is whether he got Hasra for Malchus or not. What's wrong with that answer according to Rish Lakish? And the answer is Amalach. Rish Lakish will answer you. The reason why I can't accept that answer. Because, says Rish Lakish, the fact is, we know, so what is Rabbi Yochanan telling us? If he had gotten Hasra from Malchus, then he would get Malchus. Well, and then if we say according to the Chachamim would say that if he's not loiko mashalim, that there's no double jeopardy. We're not machayiv in Malchus as well as to pay money for the same exact action. Well, that's fine. But in that case, then the same thing would apply. Kilei Asra Bein Nami. Well, then even if they did not give Masra, just the fact that there would have been Malchus had there been Asra, Potter, then Rish Lakish would say that is reason enough to make him Potter. In other words, Rish Lakish is saying, Kom Le B'Dirabi Minei, as according to the Chachamim, does not mean that there actually has to be Malchus in practice, just that there would have been Malchus had the circumstances been right. So therefore, he says, I can't accept your distinction, Rabbi Yochanan, that only if there was Hasra, and therefore there was actually Malchus, only then is he potter from paying. But if there's not actually Malchus, then he would be chayiv to pay. In fact, says Rish Lakish, I hold that he would be potter to pay. I would hold he'd be potter from paying regardless, and therefore we have to have a different way of explaining the difference between the two Mishnayos, and therefore the only way to do it, says Rish Lakish, is by saying one's according to the mayor and one's according to the Chacham. And the Gemara says, V'ozdu v'taymayu. So in that, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are going according to their respective svaras. The Ki'osid of Dimi Omar, we know that because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported, Chayovim Mrs. Shogin, Chayovim Malchus Shogin, V'davar Acher. Suppose a person did something b'shogin, where that action would have made him chayiv misa had he done it b'mezid, or suppose he does something b'shogeg, where had he done it b'mezid, he would have been chayiv malchus, the dover acher, together with something else, meaning together with something that would make him chayiv mamon. So we're talking about, so he did something that makes him chayiv mamon. So like, for example, in our Mishnah, he was onus or mafata, a woman, which makes him chayiv a knas of money. But it was a case where if he had done it b'mezid, then he'd have been chayiv misa, or if he did it b'mezid, he would have been chayiv malchus. But in this particular case, he did it b'shogeg. He didn't know, and so therefore, obviously, there's no actual misa and there's no actual malchus. So what happens as far as the payment? Rabbi Yochanan omer chayiv v'Rish Lakish omer poter. Well, then Rabbi Yochanan says that he's going to be chayiv to pay because after all, there's no malchus and there's no misa, and Rish Lakish is going to say he's going to be poter. Rabbi Yochanan omer chayev d'holai asrabe. So Rabbi Yochanan says he's going to be chayev to pay because after all, they didn't give him asra. Because therefore, in other words, what's the whole point? Why would we say that a person does not get malchus or misa and pay money? Is because the pasuk uses an expression in connection with malchus. The pasuk uses an expression, kedevish osu, that you punish him according to his wickedness. And we learn from that it means only you can only be mechayev him because of one risha, because of one act of wickedness at a time. So therefore, when there's malchus and you're punishing him in that way for his act of wickedness, then we're saying you're pottering him from paying money. No malchus, then the money kicks in. And the same thing with misa. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, therefore he's going to be chayev to pay in those cases. Because after all, here there's no actual misa and there's no actual mamun because after all, it was b'shoyim. Rish Lakish on the potter, kibin de ilu astro be potter, kila astro be nami potter, and Rish Lakish holds that he's potter regardless. It's not a matter of whether they actually give him malchus or whether they actually give him misa, just the fact that he could potentially have been chayiv malchus, or he could potentially have been chayiv misa, is reason enough to potter him from penalties, from payment, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain further on why Rish Lakish holds that. So applying that to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah in Makkos is why Rish Lakish is not able to accept Rabbi Yochanan's Svara to make a distinction between Hasra or no Hasra. So the Gemara says, Eisvei Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, how can you tell me that only if there's Misa or Malkus, only then is he Potter, and if there's no actual Misa or no actual Malkus, then he'd be Chayev to pay. The Pasuk says, in connection with, in Parashas Mishpatim, you have the case where two people are fighting, one of them hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, and the Pasuk says, V'lo yia osoin, if there's no osoin, meaning there's no death, onish yonish, then he's going to be penalized and he's going to have to pay dmei vlodus. He's going to have to pay the husband the potential value of the baby that was lost. Meaning, the Gemara explains in a different place that what it means is we figure out how much would this woman have been worth. Suppose she were to be sold as a slave woman, we're pregnant, where the husband, where the buyer would pay extra for her because he knows he's eventually going to probably get a baby in the bargain. Versus not, and you pay the difference. So the pasuk is implying only because there's no osen. My lav osen mamish. So on the face of it, the word osen means in the pasuk exactly what it sounds like. If the woman didn't die, then we make the guy pay dmei vlodis. But if she died, then we don't. We're assuming that if she were to die, then there would be chiyuv misa involved. Let's say we're talking about, now here you have, there's different ways of explaining it, but one way we can explain it is where he actually intended to hit her. Now you can have a case. The pasuk phrases it in terms of that two people are fighting and she gets caught in the middle, but you could equally well explain it that one of them actually intended to hit her. And then the pasuk seems to be implying if he actually killed her, then he's potter from paying. But if he didn't actually kill her, only caused her to miscarry, then he's chayev to pay. So you see that, so my lav osin mamish. So you see that, so now either way, the point is that, actually, let's say what we're not talking about that. He didn't intend to hit her. Actually, then in other words, there's no hasra. So either way, one way or the other, whether she dies or not, either way, the guy's not going to be chayev misa. And yet the pasuk is implying that depends on whether she dies or not. So how can you, Rabbi Yochanan, say that it depends on hasra, on whether in fact he's getting misa or not? And the answer is, you could answer, Rabbi Yechid would answer, loy din osain. No, you could say what the pasuk means is not osain itself, but rather din osain. In other words, if the person who hit her is not in a situation where he's going to be put to death, namely, so there are two possibilities. Either she didn't die, or there was no hasra. So then we would say onish yonish. So in other words, so we could understand the pasuk that way, and therefore it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yechidon. So it's not a question, So Rabbi Yochanan is saying if they gave him Asra, then he'd be Chayev, and otherwise he'd be Potter. So Din Osen would be, as long as we don't have Hasra, which would make him Chayev Misa, and we could have two possibilities. One is that there was Hasra, and in fact he didn't kill her. And the other is that there was Hasra, and the other is that there was no Hasra, and he killed her. Either way, the Pasuk would be implying that then he has to pay. So that would fit with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Whereas Rish Lakish would understand the pasuk to be saying that either way he's potter, whether in fact he killed her with hasra, whether he killed her without hasra, whether he didn't kill her, either way. So according to Rish Lakish, we would say the pasuk is saying if he killed her. According to Rish Lakish, the pasuk would be saying if he killed her, he's always potter from dmei vlodis. If he didn't, then he's always chayev. That would fit with his shita. Rabbi Yochanan, meanwhile, would understand that it's not a question of whether he killed her or not. It's a question of whether he himself is in line to be put to death. Namely, he killed her with hasra. So Rish Lakish would understand the pasuk to mean also that the key thing is he himself in position to be put to death, and Rabbi Yochanan would understand it in terms of Rabbi Yochanan would understand it. Din Osen, is he actually in a position to be put to death? And Rish Lakish would understand it in terms of was there even something done that could conceivably. caused him to be put to death, namely that she was killed. Okay. Ikadamri, another version is Isfer of Yechanan and Rish Lakish. Another version is the other way around, that Yechanan used the Pasuk to ask on Rish Lakish. The Pasuk is Veloya Osin Anish Yanish, the same Pasuk. My Lab Din Osin. Shouldn't we assume that the Pasuk in fact means Din Osin, as long as the one who hit her is not actually Chayev Misa, then he's Chayev to pay? And that would fit with Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. And the answer is loy. Osin mamish, and Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish would answer that no, he understands the word osin to mean the question is, was she killed or not? Okay, so each of them is getting their svara, and each of them has their svara, and each of them has a way of understanding the pasuk accordingly. Amar Rava, but Rava says, how could you understand the machloikas of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish that way? Is there even any opinion that holds that if they committed the act of shogig, that they would be chayev to pay? Didn't they teach a braisa in the yeshiva of Chizkiah that you have a pasuk in that towards the end of Parshas Emor that says make odom or make behema? The pasuk that says that if a person kills an animal, then he has to pay for it, and if he kills a person, then he's put to death. So the pasuk is making a hekesh between killing a person and killing an animal. And the point is, Chizkiah says, "Ma make behema lechilakta by ben b'shogi ben b'mezid." Now let's consider: if a person kills an animal, he's going to be chayev to pay, regardless whether it was b'shogig or b'mezid, because we know odam muad la'olam, a person is always responsible for what he does. Even if it was b'shogig, he still has to pay for any nizikim that he does. So there's no difference shogig or mezid ben miskaven l'sheini miskaven. There's no difference whether he actually intended to kill the animal or not. Shogig and mezid is not necessarily the same as miskaven and ani miskaven, because b'shogig, for example, could mean that he was throwing stones out of his window, not even realizing anybody was there, as opposed to Mazid realizing that he was there. And then versus Miskaven, and Shane Miskaven would be either way. He knows what he's doing, but he didn't realize that there was an animal there. He didn't intend to kill this particular animal, whatever it is. Ben derech yiridah l'derech aliyah. We also don't distinguish between whether it was on an upward trajectory or a downward one. Now, when it comes to killing a person, you have when it comes to one person kills another one b'shogeg, then you have a difference. The Gemara talks about in the Mishnah, and the Gemara talk about in Makkos that there's a difference whether it was derech aliyah or derech yirida. If a person, for example, is climbing up a ladder and falls off and falls off and lands on somebody and kills him, then he's not chayev golus. He's not chayev to go into the Orei Miklat. Whereas when he's coming down the ladder, he falls off and hits somebody, then he's chayev to go into goals. So there you have a distinction between derech aliyah and derech yirida, but not when it comes to killing an animal. There's no such distinction. So the Torah is implying that always a person kills somebody else's animal, he's always chayev to pay. In all cases, l'potre mamon, we never say that he's potter from paying for the animal. Ela l'chayve mamon, in all cases, we say that he's chayev to pay for the animal that he killed. Af Make Adam, the same way, says Tonad Vechizkia, the Hekesh is telling us that the same thing when one person kills another. Now, obviously, in terms of Misa or in terms of Golos, there is going to be a difference whether it was B'shogeg or B'mezid or Derech Aliyah or Derech Yerida. So, in what way is the Pasuk making a Hekesh as far as money? That Lo Tachlok Ben B'shogeg Ben B'mezid Ben Miskaven L'Shein Miskaven Ben Derech Yerida or Derech Aliyah L'Chayvei Mamon. You never say that he's Chayev Mamon for killing another person. Elo L'Potrei Mamon. You always say he's Potter from Mamon. And there'll be some cases where he's Chayev Misa, some cases where he's Chayev Golos, and some cases where there's neither. So we see that everybody holds. So Tonad Vechizkiah holds, and presumably both Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish would agree with that. That always when there's the killing of a person involved, which is something that potentially could be chi of misa, then it doesn't matter whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid. Either way, there's no payment. So how could we understand Rabbi Yechanan to be saying that if he killed b'shogeg, where there's no chi of misa, that then we should be requiring him to pay? Now, Tosfos points out, actually, that there are 10, we do find in other Gemaras Tanoim who seem to argue with Tanad Vechizkiah. However, the Gemara over here doesn't want to assume that Rabbi Yochanan goes according to one of those opinions, and Tosfos talks about a couple of possible reasons why, one of them being that Chizkiah, the Tosfos mentions, Chizkiah was one of the sons of Rabbi Chiya. We learned in Yevamos that Rabbi Chiya had twin boys, and their names were Yehuda and Chizkiah. That's the Chizkiah of our Gemara over here. So therefore, the braisos that he's teaching, for the most part, come from his father, Rabbi Chiya, and are known to be very reliable, and therefore the Gemara would rather assume that Rabbi Yochanan holds according to that. Another point is, I think there are Rishonim who say that Chizkiah was actually Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. So again, we would assume that Rabbi Yochanan holds like him unless we know specifically otherwise. Whatever the case, says Rava, so you can't understand Rabbi Yochanan to be saying that if it was b'shogeg that he should be chayev to pay money. There was an interesting vote, by the way, from Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch that says, so why does the pasuk have to tell us this din about that a person is potter from paying money if he kills another person, even if it was b'shogeg? Why does it have to phrase it in such a roundabout way by making a hekesh with an animal? It's precisely because the Torah wants you to realize the value of a human life as compared to the value of an animal life. You should never think, as some people do, that there's any kind of equation between them. So note, the pasuk is telling you when it comes to an animal, you never have any penalty more than having to pay for it, whereas with a person, you can't possibly say that paying any amount of money is going to help. You always need to have, either you have the actual penalty that there's supposed to be for the action, miser, golos, as the case may be, or we're going to say that he's potter. There's never anything of money involved with when it comes to a person who was killed. Anyway, so applying that over here would mean that whether he killed the shogig or the mazid, so applying it before then to the case where we said veloya osen, where we said two people are fighting, one of them hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry. So the pasuk is veloya osen onish yonish, that if there's no osen, then he gets penalized. So the implication seems to be that it is in fact veloya osen, like the Shlokish understood it, that the key question is, did she die or not? Once she dies, then there can never be any question of mamon based on Tanad Vechizkia, whether in fact it's a situation where he himself is chayiv misa because there was asra, or he's not chayiv misa because there was no asra. So then, where does Rabbi Yochanan have room to argue? So rather, we have to understand the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish differently. When Rovin came from Eretz Yisrael, and we said before when Rav Dimi came, he reported this machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. And we have this throughout Shas that Rav Dimi will first come from Eretz Yisrael and say something that the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael learned, and then later on Rovin will come and correct what Rav Dimi said. So Rovin says, rather, the machlokas is rather as follows. If the person did something where, if it was something he had done with mazid, he'd be chayiv misa, but in this particular case, he did it b'shogeg, kula amalei pligi d'pturin, then there's no argument. Everybody would agree that he's potter on the basis of Tanad Vechizkiah. The machlokas is strictly not like Rav Dimi had said, both on Chayvin Missus and Chayvin Malkus. The machlokas is strictly on Chayvin Malkus. But in this case, he did it b'shogeg, so there was no asra, therefore no Malkus, and there's also a potential chiyuv of money involved. Now comes the machlokas whether he has to pay money or not. Rabbi Yochanan will say that he's chayiv to pay money, because he would say chayavim misses ikush, chayavim malchus lo ikush, because Rabbi Yochanan would say, look, where do we have the hekesh between make adam and make behema is in connection with killing a person, which is a chayav misa. There's no hekesh as far as malchus, so therefore there's no reason to say that he can't get malchus. So therefore, fine, if he actually gets malchus, then we would say risha achas, you can only punish him once, you can't punish him twice, but no malchus, then there's no reason he shouldn't have to pay. Rish Lakish, I'm a potter, and Rish Lakish says that even in that case, it'd be potter, because Rish Lakish says, kechayved nisus, because Rish Lakish says the Torah is clearly making a ribui that someone who's chayev malchus is like somebody who's chayev misa, and therefore once we have that equation, then just like we said in the case of misa, there won't be a difference between whether there's actual misa or not based on Tanit Bechizkiah. So it will be with malchus. There's no difference whether there's any actual malchus or not. Just the fact that there could potentially have been malchus had there been hasra. The Gemara says, Heichan Ribsa, where do we find that ribui that Rish Lakish is talking about? Heichan Ribsa Torah. Amar Abaye, Astia Rosha Rosha. So Abaye says, because Rish Lakish is going to say, we have a Gzeira Shava based on the word Rosha. Namely, at the end of Parashas Maaseh, when the Torah is talking about the dinim of a person kills, B'shogeg B'mezid, the Torah says there that if a person kills B'mezid, the Torah calls him Rosha, Ashahu Rosha Lomus. Then when it comes to Malchus, the expression in the Pasuk is Vahoya in bin hakois ha-rosha. So therefore, so we have a Gzeira Shava on the word Rosha, and therefore that tells us that whatever applies to Misa applies to Malchus, and that's where Rish Lakish is getting it from. Rava Omer Asya Makin Makra. Rava says, instead, what we do is we don't learn from the Gzeira Shava of Rosha, but rather we learn from the comparison to Makeh Behema that we just said. So the Gemara is going to explain what are we talking about when we say Makeh? Because after all, the pasuk we quoted before says Makeh Nefesh Behema Yishalmena Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, or we said Makeh Nefesh Behema Yishalmena. So we'll see there's several different places where the Torah used the word Makeh. So we're going to have to figure out which one Rava is referring to. Tosfos points out, now in other places, the Gemara does use this Zeta Shava of Rosha Rosha. Everybody agrees to it. So why does Rava seem to be disagreeing with it? So Tosfos says that Rava and Rabbi Yochanan, for that matter, would distinguish between learning something about the actual Malkus themselves, which that we can learn from that Zeta Shava, versus here we're talking about a side thing. We're talking about, is there a Chiyuv Mammon, where they don't have to use the Zeta Shava for that. The Shittibu Kubetzis brings from the Rosh a couple of other explanations. One of them is that might work if he's been mazed, if he's actually getting Malkus, but it wouldn't necessarily work for Shogig, which is what we're dealing with over here, because then after all, we can't call him a Rosha. So therefore, Rava has to seek something else other than that Gzeira Shava. And for the same reason, Rabbi Yechanan doesn't have to accept that the Gzeira Shava would tell us about that case of Shogig. Anyway, Omalei Rav Papa LeRava Hey Makeh. So Rav Papa asks Rava, when you say that we're learning from the word Makeh, which word Makeh in the pasuk are you talking about? Ilema uMakeh Behema Yishalmenu uMakeh Adam Yumas. Are you talking about the pasuk that Tanit VeChizkiah quoted before that said that if a person kills an animal, then he has to pay for it, and if he kills a person, then he's put to death? So you're going to say that based on that, we're going to learn the so Tanit VeChizkiah had said from that we learn the patur of paying if one person killed another. Well, the fact is there's no malchus involved over there. Chayv Tolaksiv. There's no potential chiyuv of malchus. Either the guy is chayv nisa because he killed the other person b'mezid, or he's not chayv nisa. There's no malchus involved. So how can you learn anything from that about malchus? How can you learn anything about malchus from that? Ela hay makeh. Rather, the answer is Rava. So Rava is saying that no, we're going to learn from a different word, Makeh, that it says a few psukim earlier. It says Makeh Nefesh Behemi Shalmena Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. The pasuk says if a person strikes an animal, Makeh would mean Makeh Nefesh would mean he strikes and kills. So if he kills an animal, Yishalmena Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, then he pays for it a soul instead of a soul. Now it doesn't mean we put him to death, of course. The same way as Ayin Tachas Ayin doesn't mean we put out his eye. The same way Nefesh Tachas Nefesh over here doesn't mean we kill him for killing an animal. It means he has to pay the full value of the animal's life. The Samichlay, and the next pasuk continues, the Ish ki yitin mumba misa kasha also ken yasalai. The next pasuk continues that if a person causes a defect, causes a physical blemish in somebody else, kasha also as he did ken yasalai, so will be done to him. And the Torah continues to talk about ayin tachas ayin, where it means that he has to pay money. So we see, in other words, so we're not talking about misa over there. We're talking about So that's what we're learning from. Because as the Gemara is going to say, because the word kasha also kenya also loy means that he gets malchus. So first let's deal with the linguistics of it, and then let's ask, one second, where does a person get malchus for hitting somebody else, for injuring somebody else? Either he pays for it. There's no malchus involved. So first, v'hai lav makehi. The question first is, though, the fact is that in connection with the person, it doesn't use the word makeh. In the case of the person, it says, v'ishki yitin mumba misa. The word makeh is only in connection with nefesh behema. There's no malchus over there. There's payment over there. So what are you learning from there? And the answer is, you're right. Anan hakar hakar kamrinan. We're not talking about gzeira shava of, we're not talking about, we're talking about, the fact is, when a person causes a mum in somebody else, how does he do it? The normal way is he hits him. Therefore, when it says, ki yitin mumba amisai, is tantamount to saying the word makeh. In other words, it was still all using a Xeda Shava, but it's not a Xeda Shava from identical words. The Gemara says in some places that sometimes we can make a Xeda Shava on the same concept, even if it's expressed in different words. On the other hand, the Ritva understands that maybe we're not talking about a Xeda Shava anymore. Maybe what we're actually talking about is smuchim. Where the Torah, so many times we know when the Torah tells us two things back to back, then it means whether the fact that it says it's something in one pasuk and then it says something else in another pasuk, we learn one from the other because they're next to each other. It's called smuchim. So therefore, we could be talking about that. Since it says makin nefesh behem yishalmana, and then it continues with ish kiyit and mumba misa, then we have a smuchim between them, and therefore we can learn one from the other. So it's not really exeter shav. Okay, the question then becomes, the fact is, though, that pasuk is talking about somebody who injures somebody else. So where's their malchus? When one person injures another, he has to pay money. There's no malchus involved. So how are you, Rava, learning from there anything about malchus, let's review. Rish Lakish had said that when a person did something for which he could have been chayav malchus, then it doesn't matter whether it was shogeg or not, whether he's actually getting malchus or not. Either way, he's paying. So Rava says we want to learn that to makeh makeh. But the fact is, if you're learning from this makeh behemi yishalmana and makeh nefesh behemi yishalmana v'ishki yitin mumba misai, where's the malchus? And the answer is, okay, im eina inin lahakosh yesh b'shava pruta. The answer is like this. Let's consider, when a person injures somebody else, normally we say he has to pay. But the minimum amount you ever have to pay for something in halacha is a pruta. Less than a pruta in halacha is not considered mammon. So therefore, you're right. We can't apply the words kenya osaloi. If you're going to tell me that the words kenya osaloi means malchus, now, the fact of paying, we know from other psukim, for example, when it continues ayin tachas ayin, then it means mamon. But here, if the pasuk is telling us kenya osaloi, that the same thing should be done to him, in other words, he hit the other guy, therefore we're going to hit him, we can't apply that to the case where there's a pruta or more involved, because then he's going to have to pay that. Therefore, tmeu inyan lakosh en b'shava pruta, so therefore you're going to have to apply it to a case where the injury is worth less than a pruta. So now there's no mammon involved because less than a pruta is not mammon. So therefore, now the pasuk is telling us that he's going to get malchus. And now, in turn, the pasuk is telling us once you have a case of hitting and injuring somebody else where there was malchus involved, then it's not going to matter whether there's actual malchus or not. Either way, we can learn from that the concept that just like with injuring an animal, there's no difference whether it was shogeg or mezid. Either way, he's always chayev. The same way with injuring a person, once there is a potential chi of malchus involved, namely where it was less than a pruta, then we say that we can learn from that to other cases that where there's a potential chi of malchus that he's potter from paying, regardless whether it was shogeg or mezid. So that in fact is the halacha, by the way, that if a person injures somebody else to the value of less than a shava pruta, then he is in fact chayav malchus. Okay, the Gemara asks, soif live bar tashlumin hu. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, there's no tashlumin involved over here. So what exactly are you learning from it? What are you telling me? That we're learning from that when there's a potential chayav malchus, you don't have to pay. But here, the fact is, whether there's actual malchus involved or not, either way, there's no payment because less than a pruta. So what exactly are you learning from it? And the answer is loy tzricha, yes, but the point is, why would there be the hekesh? It's telling us, de bahadi de machye kora shiroin delay. Let's say together with hitting the other guy, he also ripped his silk garments. So now this is one of those cases of kom lebe d'rabimine, similar to what we were talking about in earlier, similar to what we were talking about earlier, where, for example, a person steals on Shabbos, and where, for example, a few blocks earlier, it talked about, let's say, where a person shoots an arrow on Shabbos and kills somebody and also tears his clothes at the same time, where we say kom lebe d'rabimine, or where we said, for example, where a person steals on Shabbos and he's chayev misa, and for carrying on Shabbos and his chayiv mammon at the same time, we talked about yesterday, where he shechted on Shabbos, etc. So therefore, so here we're talking about, so he injured the person to the value of less than a shava prota. He also tore the person's garments more than the value of a shava prota. So now we would be saying like this: if he's actually chayiv malchus, namely they gave him asra, don't hit that person, if that blow is worth less than a prutta, you are going to be chayiv malchus. Then he would be potter for paying for the clothes. Therefore, now Rish Lakish is saying, and Rava is saying, we're learning it from this gzeira shava, or from the smuchim of the word makeh, of the choiva b'chavera of kiyit and mumbamisa. We're learning that even if it was b'shevig and there's no actual malchus, because potentially there would have been malchus had it been the mezid, therefore he's still potter for paying for the clothes. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan would say that Rabbi Yechanan wouldn't accept that hekesh, or that Rabbi Yechanan wouldn't accept that smuchim or whatever it is, and therefore he would say that he'd be chayav in that case. Continuing on this topic then, Rav Chiya asks Rava, let's go back to, on Omer Aleph, we said that Tonad Vechizkia learns a hekish between Make Odom and Make Behem. And Tonad Vechizkia says that we learn from that, that just like when a person injures an animal, he's always hived to pay, whether it was B'shogig or B'mezid, etc. The same way, if a person kills an animal, rather, then he's hived to pay, whether it was B'shogig or B'mezid. The same way, if he kills a person, then he's always potter, whether it was B'shogig or B'mezid. And we said before that even Rabbi Yochanan agrees with that, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan would agree that if it was a potential chi of misa, then he's going to be potter from paying always. And we said that we therefore established that the machloikas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is only when there's potential malchus involved. So let's go back and revisit that point, says Rabbi Chiya. On the side over here, it says that maybe it's not supposed to be Rabbi Chiya, maybe it's Rabbi Ada Bar Ava, or there's various other gersois. Anyway, the point is, so he asks Rava. It's obviously not the regular Rav Chiya that we have in Shas. The regular Rav Chiya that we have in Shas, what we said before, was the father of Chizkiya, was several generations before Rava. He's not a Talmud of Rava. He's not going to be asking him questions. Anyway, so Rav Chiya, whoever it is, asks Rava. Let's revisit that. Ulatonad ve'chizkiya da'amake adam amake beheva. Now, you're telling me, according to Tonad Vechizkiya, that we have a hekesh between killing a person and killing an animal, where we said that with the animal, you're always chayev to pay, and with the person, you're always potter to pay. The question becomes, how do we know that hekesh is meant to apply throughout the week, and it applies to weekdays as well, and therefore that he's always potter from, and therefore the pasuk is implying that he's always chayev for paying for killing the animal, the lekel iflugi, and therefore you're telling me there's no distinction, always he's chayev to pay for killing the animal, dum b'shabbos tziv. Maybe in fact the pasuk is specifically talking about where he killed the animal on Shabbos, dum b'behema gufa ikel iflugi, where after all you can make a distinction between the animal itself, between b'shogig and b'mezid. After all, maybe we could understand the hekesh differently. Maybe the pasuk is telling us, if a person kills an animal on Shabbos, then we know there's a difference between shogig and mezid. If he does it b'shogig, then he's obviously not chayiv misa. If he does it b'mezid, then he's chayiv misa. So we would say, by the same logic, then the pasuk is telling us, if he's chayiv misa, then he's potter, then if he's chayiv misa, then he's potter from paying, koblim d'raminei. But if he's potter from misa, namely it was b'shogeg, then he's chayev to pay. And maybe therefore learn from that the same thing with killing a person, that it depends whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid. So how do we know to say that it means that whether it's not a question of whether he's chayev misa or not, even when there's no possibility of misa at all, always we say he's chayev and then we're making a hekesh from that to a person. Maybe in fact, potentially with killing an animal, there can also be a potential chayev misa, namely Shabbos. and the which Tosfos says, and the point would be then that that within Shabbos there's no difference between derech Yerida and derech Aliyah. The distinction we made before between, for example, a person climbing up a ladder or going down a ladder is not applicable as far as Shabbos. He kills an animal b'shogeg on Shabbos, doesn't matter whether he was going up or down. So we would say that that part of the hekesh we would still be using. But so how do we know that we're talking about? How do we know? We're talking about killing an animal where there's no possibility of chiyuv misa. Maybe, in fact, we're talking about where there is a potential chiyuv misa. And the answer is lois tafidah. You can't think that way. Let's look at that pasuk again. It says if a person kills a few psukim earlier, or no, that same pasuk actually was saying, it says if a person kills an animal, he has to pay for it. And if he kills a person, then he's put to death. So what is the pasuk telling us? Hey, chidomni, what's the scenario? If they didn't give him asra, make odom amai yomas. Then what do you mean? A person who kills somebody is put to death. No asra, no death. Ela pshita de asra. Obviously, it means they gave him asra. The ib Shabbos. Now, if you were to tell me that this hekesh is talking strictly on Shabbos, then make behemi shalmena. Then what do you mean? If you're telling me that the pasuk is talking about where there was asra, meaning so in the case of killing an animal, there was asra. They told him, don't kill this animal. It's one of the 39 malachas. You're going to be chayiv skila. Well, then of course, what do you mean make behemi shalmena? Then of course it's chayiv misa. Of course everybody's going to agree that that he's potter from paying. El alav b'chol. Obviously, therefore, we have to say that we're talking about on weekdays. So therefore, so necessarily, we have to say that the hasra was, so in the case of an animal, then hasra is not relevant. There's nothing to be masrit on him on weekdays because he can never be chayiv misa. He's always going to be chayiv money. So therefore, the Torah is telling us that, after all, that there is that what Tonet Vechizki has said before, that with an animal, there's no difference between Asra and no Asra, and therefore by a person, there's also no difference between Asra and no Asra, no difference between Shogeg and Mezid. That justifies Tonet Vechizki's limud that we can't possibly be talking about on Shabbos, because then there'd be no way to say Makke Behemi Yishamer. Okay, now let's tie up another loose end. Omaleta Papala Abaya, L'Rama. Now let's go back to on Daf Lamed Daled. We talked about, we dealt with the question, what does Rav Meir hold exactly? Now, within Rish Lakish's opinion, we said Rish Lakish had learned that on Mishnah goes according to the mayor, that loiko mishalim, that a person could actually be getting malchus as well as having to pay. Therefore, the mayor would say that he's chayev the knas for being onus or mefata, for being onus or mefata, a woman for whom there's a chi of malchus, for example, his sister, or for example, a mamzeres or whoever. And also there's a chi of malchus, as it says in the Mishnah in Makkos, and also a chi of paying, as it says in our Mishnah. In connection with that, we discussed the question: what would the mayor say regarding loiko mashalim versus meso mashalim? So, in that connection, we brought a whole thing in yesterday's Gemara concerning a person who stole an animal and shefted it on Shabbos. Where we said that a mayor patters him from paying, where a mayor is machayim to pay, and the Chum says potter. And in that connection, we said that, so first we brought an explanation that we're not talking about he himself shechted it, because then we would say, come live with Rabbi Minei. We're talking about we had somebody else shecht it for him, so that other person may be chayiv misa, and he, according to the mayor, would be chayiv to pay. Then we said, Rabbi had given a different answer, Rameyer usually would say that a person is not meso mashalim, but he would say that knas is a special thing. That a knas, the Torah may be mechayev him even if he's chayev misa. Therefore, since the tashlumei above chamisha is knas, then therefore he's chayev for that. And applying that to our Mishnah, it would mean that he'd be chayev even if it was a chiyuv misa. So now the question is, Rabbah had said the Torah makes a chidush as far as a knas, but afagav the mikto mashalim. Rabbah was saying that according to Rav Meir, we would say, this is Rav Meir, this is within Rish Lakish's opinion, who said that our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir, We would say that a mayor would say, usually it's true, ain't not a mess of a shalom. Usually you don't put a person to death and make him pay money. But when it comes to a knas is different. Says Rabba, the Afagav Mikto Mashalim, then he might be put to death and still have to pay the knas. Well, then, asks Rapapa, Masnissin Kaman Mukimla. Well, then the question is, which Tana is Rabba going to say that our Mishnah goes like? To say that he's Chayev Malchus. He could have Meir, if Rabba is going to understand our Mishnah like Rab Meir, like the way Rish Lakish does, Kashid Bitter, then you have a problem with that, namely that the next Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amud Beis says that if he's Ma'anes or Mefata, his own daughter, where there was Chiyuv Misa, then he's Potter. Now, Rish Lakish himself wouldn't have a problem with that because Rish Lakish himself had said that the case of Teveach or Moser involved where he had somebody else shecht it, so he's not Chayev Misa. Rish Lakish would say that if he's Chayev Misa, he's never paying, therefore fine. And he would say that Reb Meir holds that. So fine, he would say Reb Meir holds only if it was a Choysoi, like our Mishnah, where there's a Chiyuv Karis. Then we would say he's Chayev to pay because there's no Misas based in. But where there's Misas based in involved, namely where it was his daughter, then he'd be Potter. So fine, according to Rish Lakish, there's no problem. But Rabba, who's understanding Reb Meir to be saying that a person always has to pay a Knas, even if there's a Chiyuv Misa, well, then he can't say our Mishnah would go like, he can't say that our Mishnayas would go like a mayor. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to distinguish between his daughter and between his sister and his daughter. Would you say that Rabba would understand that our Mishnah goes according to the Nechunya ben Hakana, where earlier in the Perek, Reb Nechunya ben Hakana had said that not only where there's a chiyuv misas based in as a person potter from paying on the grounds of kom lebed rabbi minei, but even where there's only a chiyuv karis, earlier in the perek, for example, Reb Nechunya ben Hakana had said that the same way a person steals, let's say on Shabbos, then he's potter from paying. The same way if he steals on Yom Kippur and carries it out, where there is chayiv karis for breaking Yom Kippur, then also he's potter from paying. So would you say our Mishnah goes according to Reb Nechunya ben Hakana? Can't kasha achoisen. Then why would he be chayev to pay if he was ma'anes or mafata his sister? After all, there's a chiyuv karis involved. Yitzchak. Would you say that Rabba would say that our Mishnah goes like Reb Yitzchak? Throughout the parak so far, we've been assuming that whenever a person is chayev kores for something, then instead of kores, he could be getting malchus if they gave masra for malchus. Now you have an opinion of Reb Yitzchak in the Gemara in Makkos that says that no, anybody who's chayev kores is not going to be getting malchus. When would a person get malchus? Only for something for which the exclusive punishment is malchus, but you can't say that if he was chayev kares, he can get malchus instead, even if they gave masra. Well, if you're going to say that our Mishnah goes according to Reb Yitzchak, and therefore Reb Yitzchak would disagree with the Mishnah in Makkos, he would say that a man has relations with a sister, he's never chayev malchus, it's kares or nothing. Well, then kasha mamzeres. Then we'd have a problem. Our Mishnah had mentioned that if the girl that he was ma'anas or mafata was a mamzeres, then he's chayiv to pay. Now everybody agrees. Now fine, with his sister, we have the machlokas Reb Yitzchak and the other chachamim whether he's chayiv malchus. But in the case of a mamzeres, definitely the only possible penalty is malchus. And our Mishnah said that he's chayiv. So how would Rabba understand that? According to Rabba, if we said the Mishnah goes according to Reb Yitzchak, then why should he be then was saying the Torah is telling us regardless he's always having to pay a knas, then kasha mamzeres, then we'd have a problem. So even according to Reb Yitzchak, now Reb Yitzchak doesn't necessarily agree with Reb Meir. Reb Meir may say loiko mashalim. Reb Yitzchak doesn't hold that. Mamzeres is definitely loika. Why would he be mashalim? So according to Rabba, if Rabba says chidushu shechid shetoda b'knas, according to the mayor, then it seems that Rabba doesn't have any tana that he can make on Mishnah work according to. Now, honicha isavala k'rab yechan. Now, continues Rav Papa, it works out, you could say it works out if Rabba holds like Rav Yechanan, where Rav Yechanan is saying that the distinction is whether they gave masra for malchus or not. Well then, then Rabba could be making the same distinction. Rabba would be saying that that our Mishnah is talking about where they didn't give him Asra for Malkus, therefore he's paying money. Had they given him Asra for Malkus, and of course what he did was bemazed, because by definition what an Oynes or a Fata does is bemazed, then we'd be saying that's why he'd be Chayev. Well, then it works out. But if Rabba were to hold like Mishlokish, that there's no difference between whether he's actually getting Malkus or not. Then how would Rabba understand our Mishnah? Which Tana could Rabba make it work like? And again, Rishlokish himself wouldn't have a problem, because Rishlokish himself doesn't hold to this concept that there's any chidush when it comes to Knas. But Rabba, who adds this point that there's a chidush in Knas, then how would it work if he holds like Rishlokish? Okay, the Gemara says, Al-Koch, Rabbi Yechanan Svinalei. Fine, there's no alternative. We have to say that Rabba would necessarily agree with Rabbi Yechanan, that there is a distinction between whether they gave Masra or not. Let's tie up another loose end. Omelet of Masna Labaya, Lurish Lokish, the Omelet of Fedosh Ribs Saturna, Chayovi Malkis, Chayvi Misses. Now, let's go back to Rish Lokish's opinion, where we said on Omelet Aleph that Rish Lokish says the Torah is clearly telling us that Chayvi Malkis are just like Chayvi Misses. And we said we can learn that from the Gzeda Shava on the word Rosha Rosha. We can learn it from Gzeda Shava on Makeh, or it may not be Gzeda Shava, but rather than Smuchim. But according to Rish Lokish, according to the Shlokish, who says, therefore, that a person, if he does something that would have made him chayav malchus, but he did it b'shogeg, he's still potter from paying. Well, then, according to him, mantana de poligale de mechonia ben akon. Well, then, we learned earlier in the parak again about mechonia ben akon's opinion that says that when a person does something that would make him chayav kodesh, then he's also potter from paying. In other words, Rabbi Nachman ben Akana had said, the same way as we said that if a person, for example, steals on Shabbos in such a way that he's chayav for the stealing and for Shabbos at the same time, then he's potter, because come live with the Rabbi Minei. Rabbi Nachman ben Akana had said the same thing applies if he did it on Yom Kippur, where he's chayav kodesh. Well, then, according to the Shlokish, which Tana would be, specifically, would it be that argues with Rav Nechonia and says that he's chayev to pay? If Rav Shlokish is saying that when there's chiyuv malchus, even if it was b'shogeg, he's parted from paying, is it, don't kares and malchus usually go together? In other words, the question is, Rashi says, Rabbi Yechanan would understand that there's a distinction between whether Rabbi Yechanan is saying there's a difference whether they gave Masra or not. So when our Mishnah says that he's chayev for paying means when they didn't give Masra, and the Mishnah and the Mishnah in Makkos that says that he's chayev Malkus is when they did give Masra. But according to Rav Nechonia ben Akana, he's chayev kares without Asra. So then, according to that, so who would be disagreeing with Rav Nechonia and be saying that if there's no Asra, he'd be chayev? And the answer is Rav Meir, Rav Yitzchak. The answer is we have two possibilities. One is that's Rav Meir. We said Rav Meir does hold loiko mashalim. So therefore, Rav Meir would say that if he get that if they gave Masra, then he gets Malkus and he also has to pay. If they didn't give Masra, then we would say that he's potter from paying because there would have been a chi of malchus involved. Rav Meir would be mechayev him either way, we would say that Rav Nechonia would pater him where there's kares involved, but Rav Meir would disagree and say that if there was no Asra, and therefore there's kares, because without Malkus there's going to be kares, then in fact he's going to be chayev. another possibility is Eid Rabbi Yitzchak, or the other possibility is it could be a Kohen Rabbi Yitzchak, where again, Rabbi Yitzchak says that there's no such thing as Malkus for Chayiv Karis. Either is Chayiv Karis, or he gets nothing. Well, therefore, so if there's no, so Rabbi Yitzchak would say that, so Rabbi Yitzchak would say, in that case, then there's no ground to Pater. So necessarily, so Rashi finishes off and says that, look, our Mishnah necessarily has to go like Reb Meir, because Reb Yitzchak, it wouldn't work out, because according to Reb Yitzchak, he should be potter in the case, and according to Reb Yitzchak, he should be potter in the case of Mamzeres, because Reb Yitzchak holds, like the other Chachamim, against Reb Meir, that Eidonim Loiko Mashalim. And therefore, that if he's Chayiv Malkus, for having relations with his sister, then he can't also be Chayiv Mammon. So our Mishnah wouldn't work according to Reb Yitzchak. It would have to work according to the mayor. Meanwhile, the case, for example, where he stole or set something on fire on Yom Kippur, that could work according to Rabbi Yitzchak as well, because Rabbi Yitzchak would hold there's no Malkus involved over there. There's only Kores, and he would be disagreeing with Rabbi Nachoni ben Akonah. Nachoni ben Akonah would say that Kores is enough to patter him from paying. Rabbi Yitzchak would be disagreeing with that. So the Gemara continues. So that concludes the whole discussion about the ins and outs of Loiko Mashalim and Meso Mashalim and Kom Lebe D'Rabbi Minei and all that. So now here's another point. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. So let's go back now to the topic of to the main topic of our perek, which is the onus and mafata. Tanan Rabbanan, arayas ushnias la'arayas. If the woman is an erva, now we're going to explain in a minute what arayas and shnias means. Usually, what arayas means exactly what it sounds like. It means a woman who's an erva to him. For example, his sister of our Mishnah or his daughter of the next Mishnah. And shnias would usually be, as we learned about in Yevamos, means various women who is also various second level relative that he's also to marry Dirabbanan. We'll see soon in the Gemara whether that's what it means. So arayas or shnias arayas. Ein lahen loy knas v'loy pitui. So the concept of knas and the concept of pitui doesn't apply to them. So the knas of an anusa, or the where it was ma'anusar, or the money that he would have to pay for a mufuta, doesn't apply. Tosfos discusses a couple of possibilities. One possibility, and now on the face of it, in both cases, knas, after all, I mean, isn't the definition of a knas that he's paying money? He's paying money in both cases. So Tosfos discusses that maybe with an onus, we call it a knas, because not only, as we're going to learn later on in the parak, not only has to pay money, but he's also forced to marry her as long as she wants to, even if she's ugly, even if she's whatever. So therefore, we can call that a knas more than just the money that he has to pay. Anyway, so if she's an ervo, shniel erva, then that doesn't apply. Continues the Braisa Hamama Enes, if a girl did miun, as we learned about in Yevamos, where she was married off as a young girl and by her mother or her brothers or whatever, where it's not Tofas Daraisa. So then Aimla Loiknas Vilay Pitri. So Knas or Pitri does not apply because since she was married, then we assume that she was a Ba'ula. So therefore she's not a Basula. The whole concept of Onus and Mefata applies specifically to a Basula. Tosfos discusses differently that it means that her own husband is not going to be chayiv for Onus or Pitri on her because she's a Kana. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Ailonis ain't the like knas for like pituri. Also, if the girl is an ailonis, we're going about in Yevamos, where she develops certain physical characteristics that show that she's never going to physically mature. She's never going to develop shtei sidus. She's never going to develop the usual characteristics of a woman. So also ain't the like knas for like pituri. Vayotis mishum shem ra. And one more case where a woman has been divorced because of shem ra, which sounds like it means that her husband found that she's not a basula, which is going to be the subject of the next parak. So also aimal le knas le pitui, so that there's no knas or pitui for her as well. So we'll deal with in the Gemara tomorrow, where on the face of it, what do you mean there's no knas and there's no pitui? If he finds she's not a basula and brings her to Beis Din, there might be an actual chiyuv misa involved. If he finds that she was mizana, then of course forget about whether there's knas or pitui. She's chayiv misa. So we'll deal with that in the Gemara later on. But anyway, first my arayas or my shnias la arayas. What do we mean by the terms arayas and shnias la arayas in this braisa? Ilema arayas, arayas, mama, shnias, medivri seifim. Do we mean the usual definition of arayas and shnias? Why would shnias be potter? Kivin dimid arayas achazulei. After all, on a darayas level, he's allowed to marry her. Amai einlan knas. Why would we say that? There's no knas. Just because the Chachamim may say that he can't marry her, that's not a reason to patter him from the knas. Ela arayas chayvin misespace. Then rather, we have to understand that the terms here mean a little differently than they usually do. The word arayas means where there's a chiyuv misespace. For example, the next Mishnah is going to talk about where he was ma'anas or mafata, his own daughter. And shnias chayve krisis. And shnias means not its usual meaning, where it's also derabanan, but rather where it's only chayv karis, for example, a sister of our Mishnah. So then, our Mishnah is telling us that there's no knas and no pitui. So the implication is, but if it was only an isur lav, for example, if she was a mamzeres, then there would be a knas. Umani shimin atimni. So therefore, our Mishnah would have to go according to Shimon HaTimni, who talks about at the beginning of the perek that kiddushin are tofus with such a woman, and therefore that the whole concept of knas applies. So therefore, not only does he have to pay the money, but if it was ma'anis, then he's actually forced to, then he's actually required to marry. As opposed to if she was an erva of any kind, whether chayvi krisis or chayvi misses based in, then he would be potter because obviously he can't marry her. The Gemara had said of it, there loy seal isha yesh bahavaya, as long as kiddushin are tofus, then these dinim are gonna apply. Ikadamri arayas chayvi misses based in v'chayvi krisis, shnias chayvi lavin. Another version would go that arayas of this braisa means where there's a chiyuv misses based in or chiyuv krisis, shnias chayvi lavin. And the word shnias of this braisa would mean where there's only a lav. For example, she's a mamzeres. Mani Reb Shimon Menasya he, and therefore our braisa would be going according to Reb Shimon Menasya, who said at the beginning of the parak that it has to be isha ru'uya l'kaima, a woman that not only is kedushin or toifas, but that he's allowed to stay married to her. Where, in other words, so even if she's a mamzeres, yes, kedushin or toifas, but he's not allowed to stay married to her. Therefore, Reb Shimon Menasya would say that the dinim of onus and mafata don't apply to that. So therefore, we could say that our braisa can be understood according to Reb Shimon Menasya, who says that as long as there's any, as long as there's any impediment to them staying married, even if it's only an isur lav, then we would still say that the dinim don't apply. And we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with analyzing this braisa for you.